production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a... Man, it is like a late spring day outside. Temperatures in the 80s. Hope everybody doing well. I was outside for about an hour and a half, and it's like, whew, not used to it being this warm, but it is gorgeous. Pollen's back a little bit, and it will be for a while, but hey, it is beautiful spring. Everything is in bloom. For those folks that have allergies, I'm sorry. And it's sort of a shame that we're still... You know, weeks away from Easter, because a lot of the blooms, I think, are going to be gone by then, because everything has bloomed so early.
Yeah, well, and Easter is later.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a combination. Things blooming a little earlier and Easter being a good bit later than usual. But, welcome in on this good-looking Wednesday. That was Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Don, how you doing today?
Doing great. Thank you.
And Drew is at the controls, as is the case normally. Dan, we will find out whether or not he'll be back this week tonight, because the Troy women are playing at Western Illinois tonight in the, I think they call it the Fab Four of the women's NIT. Mm-hmm. If they win there, they will play in the women's NIT championship on Saturday, so we wouldn't see him until next week. So, wishing Dan and the Troy women the best. But I'm heading out Friday, so I can do the show. I've already got it figured out. We're landing in Houston at around 1:20 on Friday afternoon. And then it's about a 3-hour drive. So I'll be either in the vehicle on the way to San Antonio or in San Antonio in time for the show.
Yeah, if you land at what time?
1:20.
Yeah, you're not going to be in your car at 1:20.
Oh, no. No, as a matter of fact, we have scheduled 2:00, I think, is when we've scheduled pickup, because we know it. We're expecting it's not going to be before
then. Are you going into George Bush?
Yes.
Okay, that's a much better situation.
Yes, than Hobby.
Yeah.
You know what was crazy is, all right, so we were making plans and weren't sure what the situation with Scott, my older son, because he's got a 6-month-old. He and a man have got a 6-month-old, weren't sure what their situation was going to be. Were they going to be able to go? Where are they going? And so we were already looking at some flights that were going into Bush. And then Scott was thinking they needed extra baggage and with the baby, you know, carry a pack and play or a crib or mm-hmm. something else like that, and could get a better deal on Southwest. So he was planning, okay, we'd meet. And it's like, oh, no, hold on, because Southwest doesn't go into Bush. They just go into Hobby.
You do not want to do that.
So, no, we didn't want to be at multiple airports trying to get the family.
No, and Hobby is straight downtown, and to try to get out of there and go somewhere else is a disaster. So, yeah, George Bush, you'll be on the right side of town to get out of town and head that way. So, that's that you shouldn't be too bad there.
Yeah, so I will be on location. Maybe between Houston and San Antonio, maybe probably at least be around San Antonio by airtime Friday, but we'll find out. Dan, I would guess, would be back tomorrow if Troy loses tonight. So I mean, they've had a couple of great ball games, winning in overtime the last couple of games. So
Bill, we were talking where. Is it Illinois State? Is it Normal?
It's Western Illinois, I believe.
Normal, Illinois.
I looked, and I thought it was Normal or Macomb.
It's Macomb, I believe, is Western Illinois.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, Dan is he's been around the country.
Yeah, he's been from Alaska to Montana
to Fargo this past week.
He couldn't get any games in Miami or Bahamas.
No,
or...
and he hadn't gone up to the Northeast very much, but that's great. And of course, As we were talking, Auburn basketball left today. The team left today for San Antonio for the Final Four. And a lot of folks are heading out there. Jason's going to be hanging around here, though, with Brad Law doing Auburn-Alabama baseball.
Yep, we got that. And, I got a Big Cat. Well, this version of Big Cat Weekend as well on Saturday.
I was wondering, and Don and I were talking about it yesterday, Jason. The schedule and everything for Big Cat, Hugh Freeze yesterday, there's no question. He's going to be in San Antonio, so he'll be leaving, I would guess, no later than, late morning, midday.
They'll practice Saturday
early
morning.
Yeah.
Get a chance to see some guys, talk to them, and then it'll be assistant coaches, coordinators, those guys, and I think he'll be gone, that afternoon.
Big Cat generally lasts, past
lunch. Well, and here's the thing. There will be folks, some guys that traveling from out of state that'll be staying that night that they'll watch the basketball games with some coaches, those kind of things. The local guys will probably go home and get out of here that afternoon. So, don't really know. I think the schedule is going to be wide open. So it's going to make for a crazy time. It could be even crazier, though, that we have a 95% chance of rain on Sunday.
That's right.
And you cannot move the baseball game time Saturday. It's on TV. It is set for 7 o'clock.
And we were asked about that yesterday, and it's like, when it's set for TV,
that's it.
It's there.
So that means if you played another game, you would probably play it at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Play it as early as possible.
A four-hour break in between,
yep,
that's what you'd have to do. So, I don't know. It's going to be a crazy day.
Yeah. It could be similar to the situation last week as far as
It would be three straight weeks then.
Not last week. It was last week.
Yeah, last week you played three games in 25 hours.
Right.
At Georgia. The week before you played a 10 a.m. game at Kentucky. And then you had one event. Like, you could go every week in SEC play and have a game before noon. So that's, unfortunately, that's part of what you deal with the weather. We'll see how that goes this weekend. But, tons of stuff going on. Nathan King, Philip Marshall, Patrick Bingham, all will be out in San Antonio. And Nathan's already there, I think. And Patrick, I think Philip will be there tomorrow. But press conferences, things from San Antonio tomorrow as well. So, had a lot of basketball stuff. And, we've had a lot of football. We got to see 2 hours of practice.
Yeah, that was impressive. I was telling Don, he missed out yesterday.
Yeah, and, just to be able to get out there and see guys run around, see quarterbacks throw the ball and, they're
and in not full, just against air.
No, yesterday. And they're in full pads and they're doing things. But it's not when people think about practice, this is not 1998 football practice.
No.
You don't have a bunch of goal line situations and you're not running in. You're not doing inside. They're not doing a bunch of that. But you get a chance to get out and have some contact and do some one on ones, O line, D line. And so some of those situations. But it was good to see, and you can see it that the talent level has increased. And I had a discussion today, and I went back and just kind of threw a couple of numbers because people were like, this team was talented enough to play close. Then was coaching. I was like, what if the coaching got them close enough in games? What if the talent level was closer to New Mexico than it was Alabama? Because here's the thing: you start looking at it going, how do you measure talent level? You go, talent level, a lot of the time is going to be measured by draft picks.
Right.
NFL draft is where you ultimately measure talent level. And you start going, what's it look like? And you go, Auburn's only had two guys taken in the first two rounds since 2020. That's it. That's 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Roger McCreary and Derek Hall are the only two guys taken in the first two rounds in those drafts. The last time at Auburn I had an offensive lineman drafted in the first two rounds.
Was it Braden Smith?
2018. That's a long time ago. That's just two instances.
Yeah.
You start talking about, you got to get better players. They're getting better players. Could they have won more games last year? Absolutely. Am I saying the coaching was perfect? Absolutely not. Never is. But I think they're in a better position now than they've been in quite a few years, and we'll see how that translates.
Well, last week we were here talking about Eric Singleton And not that he wasn't impressive again yesterday, but yesterday a couple of guys. Deuce Knight is fun to watch throw the ball. And Jackson Arnold looks – I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Jackson Arnold. He looks like an SEC quarterback.
Yeah.
Deuce Knight, though, is – he's special for a freshman. And the other guy, the guy that I really was impressed with yesterday was Sam Turner.
Yeah, Sam Turner's a good player. You're right. I mean, I wrote about Deuce today in kind of an insider piece. People were like, well, you're setting it up now. People are going to think he's going to be the starter. He could be. He's going to have a shot. And writing about Deuce Knight doesn't mean that Jackson Arnold hasn't been good, because he has.
No, what it feels like, though, is a situation Auburn hasn't had. Golly, I'm trying to remember when Auburn had a situation
give me the last
that
true.
Appears like this. You know what? I was thinking about this yesterday. I would think that Auburn fans should look at this as hoping that it's like a Texas situation, where you have a Quinn Ewers and there's an Arch Manning guy that everybody can't wait to see, but that doesn't mean that he's necessarily going to be the starter yet.
Yeah, here's the thing. When this house settlement, whatever happens, then
– Yeah, that's just like a few days away, isn't it? Monday? Yeah,
maybe. We'll see. Who knows what's going to happen. Then you would hope that this settles down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, though – people are trying to – you look at all the basketball deals that are just going nuts.
Golly,
so right now.
Because
they're trying to get them in before this thing happens. Yeah. Before, so they're talking about guys that are $2.5 to $3.5 million for one basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
These guys that are good. But it's not like that's not Cooper Flagg going in the portal. I mean, he's a good player. Cooper Flagg right now went to portal, it'd be $5 million.
At least.
I mean, like, it's insanity. And I heard a former player – talking about it, said, look, if I had been in this situation, man, I would have stayed in college all day and twice on Sunday. And
sure.
You're absolutely right. You get all the benefits of the money and no responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, here's your money, but now you don't have to pay any bills. Well, I think we got to get to a point where, okay, if the money's there, then you have to be real world. If you want to live in the real world, Then go full bore real world. Real world means, okay, here's your money. Hey, where's your rent?
Yeah, you've got responsibilities.
Correct. And so I think there's got to be some way to get this thing balanced a little bit, and we'll see if that happens.
Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover with us here in hour number one of the Wednesday Drive. We'd love for you to join in. Give us a call on the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390. And, of course, it's sponsored by Skybar. Or you can text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor the podcasts of the Drive. And the text box number, 334-564-1840. We'll get to our first break. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio. And, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Are you headed to San Antonio? What do you think about the Tigers' chances? Interesting, Jason, that Auburn is considered the longest shot by the odds makers. And I said it yesterday, feel like Bruce Pearl's got to love the situation that Auburn is in as far as the perception to be able to play the underdog when you've got a team that was the number one overall seed going into the tournament.
Yeah, this is not the Kirby Smart of what nobody believes in us, even though you're picked number one in the country. This is a team that was number one for most of the year, is the overall number one seed, and has the lowest odds to win the championship. This is a perfect opportunity from Auburn. I think it's great. And so I think you look at it going – okay, you can go and start to play a little bit of that chip on your shoulder. And you lost to this team at home.
No respect.
You lost it to them at home. You lost it. And I still haven't found my answer yet. I still don't know that there's anybody that's ever played all of the other three teams in a Final Four.
Well, when they played Michigan State, they'd played all the other seven teams in the Elite
Eight.
Yeah,
and so you look and go, yeah, once they played them.
Yeah.
But going into this, you played all the other teams. And so I don't remember. Like I said, 85.
And they're all one seed.
Yeah, 85 you
it's
had.
It's not like, oh, they're long shots.
85 you had three teams from the same conference. You had St. John's, Georgetown, Villanova, and I think Memphis, though, was the fourth team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that any of the other teams had played the other one of those there. It may have happened, but, man, there's no secrets when you're talking about this one, and especially in this game. You know, I just kind of did one of the national shows, and we were talking about, like, you could not know more about each other than Auburn and Florida are going to know about each other because of not only playing each other once, but
Todd
because
Golden
of
and Bruce Pearl.
Because the coaching staff and Stephen mm-hmm. Pearl. Stephen and Todd are best friends.
Yeah.
So there's not any secrets, which means to me, do your best players play well? So you look at this and you're going, man, can Broome and Dylan Cardwell neutralize the bigs? Can you just neutralize those guys?
Just keep them from getting
and you did the first time.
You know, 15, 20 offensive
and you did.
Rebounds.
I mean, you were even in rebounding here the first time. The difference right. was Walter Clayton made a bunch of threes.
Yep, and he has been – he's probably been the best guard in the tournament.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Especially from his consistency that he's done it every game. That's it. Can you neutralize the bigs, hold your own, and then can you – you know, to me, this is a – can Miles Kelly, Tahad Pettiford, one of those guys – get one of those 4 or 5 3 type games. That's normally what it takes in a Final Four is to have a guard
mm-hmm.
that says, hey, I'm going to go and have a big game. Auburn's probably has 3 or 4 guys that can do it.
They do. I mean, if they could have a couple of them. Auburn needs to be in that situation, Jason. I feel like we saw so many times during the season when you look up and they're like 5 or 6 guys that are around double figures. And nobody is having that, 1 for 7 or kind of night like that shooting. I mean, if you just can have balanced but pretty consistent shooting, then Auburn's shown they can beat anybody.
That's it. And so, yeah, can you, and then Denver Jones on Walter Clayton.
Yeah.
You know, Elijah Martin didn't play the first time here, big physical guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Auburn team that has more length and more size. That's the thing with Tahad in this game. Florida's guards are big, and they're big and physical guys. How can he handle those, and can he use that quickness to get to the lane? He may not be able to finish as much because Florida has a bunch of trees. They don't have just one. They got a bunch of them.
Yeah, they do.
But can you get in there and then create shots? And so you're going to have to play well, but it's a Final Four. You should have to play well to win this game. And so, I think you're in a pretty good spot to go into it and having most of the country think that you don't have a chance to win.
You know, the other thing is this Final Four with it being all one seeds, there's no surprises, I don't think, regardless of who wins, because they all have proven they're good enough to win it all.
Yeah, in different ways.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Auburn's consistency and just battle tested. Florida is just, I think, numbers. It's just a wave of guys. They have everybody looks the same. All their big guys look the same. All their guards look the same. And so they play really well. Duke is elite, first-level talent.
Uber-talented.
Not as deep.
Yes.
Not as old. But elite, first-level talent. And then Houston is just nasty.
They are.
I mean, it's just like a bunch of gnats. And they got a couple of big guys, but they're
big
not huge.
So,
well, but they're not huge inside.
Yeah.
But, no, they're physical. But, like, it's just relentless. And here's the thing. It's relentless without getting fouls called. They don't get in foul trouble.
They're more like mosquitoes.
Yeah,
I
mean,
so I'm trying
like,
to think that's because like, it's more uncomfortable.
Or bees or whatever
it is.
It's like into a hornet's nest. That may be it.
Oh, that's
but,
a that's
but
a good
and they don't get fouls called.
No.
Like they're getting to the end of the game, and if they're down, they're having to give fouls, and they pressure the ball every second of the game. So I think both of these matchups are fantastic because I think you look at it and Duke plays really good defense. They're long. And Houston is one of those teams that's just relentless. And then the other side, you get two teams that know each other so well. I think it's a fantastic grouping of Final Four.
Janai not practicing in Auburn as they headed to San Antonio. And, you know, that's what everybody's wondering about is how effective is he going to be? it was unbelievable when he came back in the ball game. Talking with Andy yesterday about that. I mean, just that moment. Don recalling Willis Reed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one of those things where he just thought, well, you're not going to see him again in this ball game. Hopefully Auburn hangs on and you get to see him, and he's able to come back and pull down a rebound with one arm and hit an unbelievable three that was the final nail.
That you could sense it right there. But if people haven't had a chance, Nathan King did a fantastic story for us today.
I haven't talked had a chance to
see Broome's parents.
Oh yeah,
talking about having some thoughts from Stephen Pearl, and said, look, they go into the locker room and said, gets in there and he says he just couldn't feel anything in his arm. So mm-hmm. It was more of a numbness factor.
That's what it appeared when he was trying, you're shaking it, trying to get the feeling back in your fingers.
And they get in there and look at it and say, hey, they scanned it, said there was no ligament damage, no break. And so then it's a matter of, okay, how do you feel? And for me, the thing I've seen a couple times, Sunday night, the team got back at 11:15 or so Sunday night to Toomer's Corner,
mm-hmm.
and Broome got out, and he was holding his phone videoing in his right arm and holding it in the air. No brace. It's wrapped up. I honestly think it's going to be much of what we've seen all year, which is he's beaten up, he is bruised, but he'll play, and I guess it.
I had a crazy thought, Jason. I wondered if this weekend the ankle might be bothering him more than the shoulder, more than the elbow and arm.
Yeah,
when he went down, man, it was like ankle and elbow went the wrong way.
I think it's just a hey, he's been through the wars and that just added to it. I think now you get time off. They've seen Florida. They know what they run. Broome has seen everything you could possibly imagine for a college basketball player. Just getting to the game healthy. The other part of it is that for the most part, Broome shoots one-handed.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Most part, it's one-handed. I mean, he might guide it a little bit on some free throws and threes.
And threes.
But around the basket, the it is time, pretty much one-handed. So, the thing will be physical, the rebounding side of things, because the shoulder in a stretch for Broome was the biggest deal because he could not grab the ball with both hands. So he was kind of tipping it to himself when that ankle was hurt too.
Yeah.
And you can't do that against Florida.
No.
You're going to have to go get the basketball.
No, you tip that ball up and
it's gone.
They've got multiple guys that are
taller. So you're going to have to grab the basketball. So, yeah. But I honestly think Broome has played through this pretty much all year. I wouldn't expect anything different come Saturday night.
Yeah, just can't wait for that. And again, I expect, even though, like, we're saying we're flying into Houston and Houston's closer, I would think the Auburn contingent's going to be rival any of the other three schools.
I think one thing that's helped is that I think there have been a lot of people that said, look, we're going to buy some Final Four tickets,
mm-hmm.
Auburn fans. And I'm sure Duke had some early. And Houston and others, and Houston will have, but Houston's not a huge fan base following,
right?
Not as big. Duke will have their Duke basketball has become a little bit like Notre Dame football, mm-hmm. in that you go no matter where you go, you kind of have these Duke fans. Florida will have some as well. I think Auburn will have as many, if not more, than anybody else there. And part of that too is you have massive Auburn clubs in Dallas and Houston.
And Houston, yeah.
And so you'll have some people there that are going to go, hey, I've been planning this. I've been hoping for this for a while and bought tickets. And so I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And again,
in an arena that big, I don't think especially some of the upper level tickets are going to skyrocket that much.
No, and I think you look at it, to me, I've been, like I said, probably five times for Army All-American games there.
Yeah, see, football. We've never been to San Antonio.
And so it's 64,000 people is what it can do for a basketball game. But it honestly feels like the Carrier Dome.
Huh.
Because it is the press box is low to the ground. The seats come down. It's not going to be one of these. Because, like, are permanent seats. So their permanent seats for football come 10 feet.
Wow.
To the bench, and then you have the sideline. So there's not going to be this big, massive, gaping hole like you have
in
Dallas, for example. So, and they have seats that come from the end zones and do some of those things. I think it's going to be a fantastic venue because, I mean, the Spurs played there. They played their home games there for years until they built a new arena. They still played at the Alamo Dome. So they played regular season NBA basketball games at the Alamo Dome for a long time.
Yeah, well, that will be great. And, again, really, really looking forward to that. All right, we're halfway done here in hour number one. Love for you to join in. If you got any questions or comments for Jason, we'll talk some baseball. Rough night for the Tigers last night following a tough weekend in Athens. Alabama is up next for the Tigers. We'll talk about that and more, but love for you to join in. 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Drive, 26 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And, yeah, we'd love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise. And Jason is has been doing a great job while Andy has been continuing and everybody loving the fact that Auburn basketball has made it all the way to the Final Four. It's given you quite a few more opportunities to do some color. And as Don was saying, Jason doing a great job of color with Brad there on Auburn baseball.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been fun. It's a win-win. Yeah. Basketball keeps winning, and I get to do a little bit more radio. So it's been
– keep it up.
Yeah, it's been good. And so, yeah, get another opportunity this weekend. And this will be it because there's no more basketball after this weekend.
Nope, but that's right.
You know, look forward to it. I mean, yeah, last night, you know, it is what you have sometimes in baseball where you go – man, it just looks like that you're kind of lifeless, not a whole lot of energy, and you just can't get anything going. And I mean, early on, UAB hits into three double plays in the first four innings, and then Auburn does it at the end of the game. Auburn had two on in the sixth, two on in the seventh, two on in the eighth, and one in the ninth and didn't score a run. Hit into double plays, you know, couldn't get a big hit. And so those are the things that sometimes happen. Texas lost last night at home to Texas State, who was like 12-16. So that is part of baseball.
And it's also, I mean, we talked about it the first time these teams played. It's a huge game for UAB. There's so many
a lot of
connections.
Folks. Yeah, lots of guys that
– And shout out, yeah, all right, saw Clado last night on the way in. David, feeling great. Proud pop last night as Todd crushed one.
Absolutely.
Over the monster. And, I mean, He is a legit cleanup hitter.
Yeah, he's playing well. And you know, I mean, that's the things that happen, though. You get two out, nobody on, and you walk a guy before the best hitter, and it's a two-run home run. So just some of those things that happened last night. I thought the back end of the game pitched pretty well. And Griffin Graves was really good.
I thought he was fabulous last night.
And
little lefty was bringing it.
It's not a Billy Wagner 98-99, but it has the same feel.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, who knows? There may be a couple of more miles an hour
But it has the same feel when you talk about 5'8", 5'9" lefty that throws 93, 94. It gets on you pretty quickly. And so I think he's a guy that's carving out a role. Mm-hmm. That'll be the thing I'd be interested to see this weekend. What's it look like from a starting perspective for Auburn? Because honestly, going to Georgia, being there in person, seeing that, I think playing Georgia at Georgia, I think that's the best team in the country when you play them in Athens. Now, I think this weekend they play at Texas. I think it'll be more difficult because it's not a home run park. Mm-hmm. But playing them there, the way they've designed their roster, I thought Auburn actually acquitted themselves pretty well. Should have won a game and had a chance to win another one if you get a couple of hits here or there.
Yeah. I mean, there were just a couple of spots where they couldn't stop the bleeding, hurt themselves.
Yeah, and that's it. I think now can you get your pitching sorted out a little bit? And, you know, Christian Chatterton, see now he is really talented. He's a really talented guy. But a couple of years ago, I've said it multiple times on here, coaches said, how do you get old on the mound? It's really hard for somebody that's 18 to pitch to a bunch of guys that are 22 and 23. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing.
And not
now.
Just a bunch of guys that are 22 and 20, SEC guys.
Yeah, yeah.
That are 22 and 23.
And I went and looked, and in Georgia, all nine starters transfers. All nine.
Wow.
Seven of those are first year. So they got seven new guys and then two other guys who are second year guys. So it's completely rebuilt. They said, look, we're going to go get a bunch of guys who swing the bat. They got new turf that's really slow. And so, like, well, hey, they basically play. It is the antithesis.
Is it turf?
It is all turf.
Okay. The mound. I heard y'all a couple of times mention that.
The mound is turf, everything.
So they made like thick.
No, it's just new.
Oh, okay.
So that new turf.
I was just trying to figure why it was so slow.
It was really slow.
Most turf is fast.
No, this is not the 1985 St. Louis Cardinals. they're not beating the ball in the ground and going, you know. So I thought, hey, you look up and go, yes, you've lost four in a row. You got to play well, and you got two home series now, but you're 4-5 after 3 weeks. You've given yourself an opportunity now to go see what you can do.
And you played two of the three series on the road.
That's right. So now you got to play better. And you know, do you get Carson Myers in the starting rotation? I wouldn't be surprised if you do. I think you've seen, you know, whether it's, you know, Ryan Hetzler, there's some guys that have pitched really well out of the bullpen. Do you go and make some moves there to potentially put those guys, flip some roles? We'll see, but got to swing the bat and got to score some runs. And that's the way it is for everybody, and that's the way it's going to be from here on out, because you don't play Missouri. So that's the one team you look at and you go, man, you'd like to have them on the schedule.
Yeah, you would.
You don't play them. But you look and go around this league and you start thinking about teams in the Southeastern Conference in baseball. You go, man, what teams have you thought of? Go, man, that's a team that has a chance to win a national championship. And you go, well, Texas A&M is preseason number one. They're 1-8, and they go to Tennessee this weekend. So you're 1-8, go to Tennessee, and you're the preseason number one team in the country. You think about who else is Florida. Florida's been really good. They're 1-8.
Yeah.
South Carolina's won
Georgia absolutely destroyed him in Gainesville.
South Carolina's won multiple national championships, 1-8 with Paul Mainieri in his first year coming from LSU after retirement.
Right.
And Mississippi State's 1-8, who just won a national championship 3 years ago. That's the difficulty of this league. And you just, hey, keep your head
above
water.
That's where Auburn was a year ago.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, they're in much better shape right now.
Yes. And so you go, hey, keep your head above water, win some series at home, take care of business, and you look up at the end of the year, just like basketball. You look and you go, man, because of this league and because of the schedule you play, you're going to get some, hey, man, that was really tough. D1 baseball today had 11 SEC teams in the NCAA tournament. And that's with four of those teams being 1-8 and not in there. If those teams are 3-6,
they're probably in there.
And so, but Alabama's good. Alabama's playing really well. They got some really talented guys, so it's going to be a battle this weekend for sure.
Yeah, it is. And, again, as you were saying, I don't know, were we talking about it on the air? Yeah, you did. You mentioned the airtime. That's one of the things. We don't know exactly the weather situation for Sunday, and then one of the games Saturday is gonna be starting while Auburn's still playing basketball.
Yeah, we know that as long as the weather holds
off.
If
it is just – I mean, if it's only one game, it's going to be that game starting
while
Auburn's
playing. Yeah, correct. And, yeah, so they're going to play a game at 7 o'clock. And so that is because of TV. That doesn't move. Auburn does not have the chance to move it. Those things don't happen. And so that'll be at 7 o'clock. And because of basketball at 5 and because of everything going on, the other part is that if you play a game, you don't want to play it too close to 7, because if it were to go to extra innings, you have to give them an hour. TV has to have an hour to set up. So if you finish the game and you can't start an inning after 6 o'clock then. So if you go and you're extra innings, you have to stop, start a new game at 7 o'clock, play that game, and then finish the previous.
And then come back with a suspended game.
So that's why you have to start it earlier to give yourself a chance. So this could be the old day-night doubleheader, and it doesn't happen much anymore, but give yourself a couple hours in between.
I mean, I would think it's – I mean, maybe it started 11. I would think more like 12.
Yeah.
But, I mean –
I don't know. So we'll see. I guess they cross that bridge when they get there.
If you're playing a 6-hour game, it starts at 12.
Yeah, no.
That's a heck of a day.
You would hope you would avoid that one. But, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, Friday night, 6 o'clock, get it started. And, you know, Sam Dutton going, and should be a fun time.
One of the guys we didn't see last night, Cade Ballou. I mean, Auburn's got – I mean, they've got some guys that can really swing the bat. But they need Cade in the lineup.
Yeah, Cade's been playing well. I mean, it honestly reminds me a little bit of Jani Broome.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He has been hit by 12 or 13 pitches this year. He's probably fouled a ball off his front foot, I don't know, a dozen times or more. And he's like, I said, hey, you gonna wear one of those, you know, the plastic guards? He said, no, because I can't run. Like, he's a guy that wants to leg it out. He's like, I don't feel like I can run with that thing on. So you do that, and then slide into a bag in Athens last weekend, jammed his shoulder.
Oh, wow. See, that's what I didn't realize.
So I think it's more than that. I think it was more than that one. I think, you know, jammed that shoulder some, and, like, he stayed in, but then it was replaced. So he has gone through the ringer a little bit, so we'll see how he's able to get ready to go.
I wonder if you just, like, could wrap it extra, you know, like put gauze and just wrap it like it's
to give you a little bit of padding,
like you've got a wound there, because he pretty much does, just to have some padding that maybe wouldn't slow him down.
Correct,
as much.
Absolutely.
Oh man! All right, so yeah, Auburn. So Auburn baseball is it six Friday and
six,
then
seven two, and I then, believe. Yeah. Yes.
So that'll be coming up with the Friday game on Wings. The 7 o'clock game on Saturday is right here on ESPN 106.7, and then depending on when the other one is, it should be on Wings, regardless of whether it's early Saturday or on Sunday. 334-321-1390. That's the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. I know that there's some folks out there that have got a question or two for Jason. We'll talk a little more football and a couple of other things. I mean, some of the news outside of Auburn when we come back after our final break here of hour number one of the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Dixie Electric Plumbing, Air, and Garage Doors is turning it up with some incredible giveaways. Two VIP tickets to the Morgan Wallen and Sand in My Boots Festival.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Coach Don Dunn, Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio. And Jason, got to get your thoughts on some of the wild moves that are going on. We'll stay away from the transfer portal right now because, I mean, there's so many players that are entering. It's funny. I mean, we mentioned yesterday Trey Donaldson back in the portal. I mean, who's the guy? Oh my goodness! Who is the who's the guy that's back and forth? The Ohio State, South Carolina, and back.
Yes, Michi.
Yes.
Yep.
2 years at Ohio State, 1 year at South Carolina. Back to Ohio State this year. Now he's going back to South Carolina again. I mean,
it's insane.
Crazy.
It really is. It's insanity.
There eventually has to be something to at least limit the number of times you can
correct
jump.
and you look and you know, you look at teams that are and programs and whoever spending the amount of money they're spending right now to try to get deals done before this thing is goes through. And so, and it, you know, I think there'll still be guys. We know Auburn's gonna have to go and be really portal heavy,
no question about
it. And our national guys have continue to feel good about Auburn getting Florey Benunga, which would be massive. He was, you know, freshman at Kansas this past year, guy that Auburn recruited, you know, coming out of high school.
You know, very reminiscent of the situation with Walker Kessler.
Yeah, and a guy that's he's a big, but he's not huge.
Right.
But he's really athletic, and so I think he'd be a good fit, and a guy that I think knows he needs to develop his perimeter game.
And knows that Auburn is a place he can do that.
Going to have a chance to add to his game, yes. And so I think that'd be a huge one to start with, and then you start looking at potentially power forward. Yeah, I mean, Yaxel Lindenberg at UAB is gonna demand and gonna get a bunch of money.
He
I don't
is,
know that you can
and most of the SEC would love to have him.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody.
He's a double machine.
Yeah, and he doesn't turn the ball over.
No,
much.
And so you start going, okay, you know, when you have to sign five or six portal guys. Can you afford a guy that's $2.5 million in that group?
And the other thing to keep in mind is how Auburn has built this roster, how Bruce has built this roster through the years. I mean, it's not always getting the biggest name from the highest profile schools either.
And most of the time it's multiple year guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Miles Kelly's been different this year.
Right.
But it's been multiple year guys that, okay, year one, year two. I mean, look at this roster. Broome's a third year guy. But you look at at Cheney, second year.
Denver. Second year guy.
Chad. You start going, okay, that's been a big part of this is watching them develop in a second year. And so I think they like to get – and you think about it, football too. Hey, one of your guys great, but, you know, especially on offensive line, certain spots, you'd like to have a guy that has multiple years because the second year you feel like you finally get the system and finally get it in. I would think that's what you'll see a lot of in basketball, but just had to see what happens because everybody's out there on a spending spree at the moment.
Yeah, no question. And then the coaching moves. Now, the latest, apparently Chris Beard is going to stay at Ole Miss because we'd been hearing, we talked about it a little yesterday, that he appeared to be right there at the top of the list for Texas A&M. And there was a report, I heard a report early this morning that said, oh, solid sources say it's a done deal, Chris Beard to Texas A&M, but he's going to stay at Ole Miss. What's up with A&M? I mean, what? Money isn't the only thing.
Well, and you look at it, and we've talked about this. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll win a national championship one of these three. But you look at historically, you know, R.C. Slocum had some good teams. They've had. But you look historically, but they haven't gotten over the mountaintop in any of these sports. You hired Jimbo Fisher. He won a national championship.
Not for a lack of resources.
No, it's not. They snap their fingers and go, hey, let's rebuild this stadium. Boom, and it's done before the next football season starts. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have done a great baseball facility. And, hey, they made it a long run last year, made it to the championship game. But you look at it and go, you know, basketball, and you know, here's the other part of it, too, is you look at what Texas has done in football, and now you see Texas in baseball a little bit. And for them, it's like, that's not good enough. That's not good enough to make an Elite Eight or Sweet 16. That's not good enough. Well, you lost this year early. Okay. There was a large portion of that fan base that wanted to see him go. They were tired of Buzz Williams. Tired of Buzz Williams. Hey, you better watch out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you start looking at it.
Better be careful of what you wish for.
Correct. And so, I mean, can they go hire a guy that maybe is a big name? Yeah, they probably can. Will he win? Who knows? Because right now, you jump in this league, it's not easy.
No kidding. I mean,
there's a bunch of good basketball
sort of
coaches.
I mean, the thing is, and they've seen Texas, you know, get their baseball coach, and now Texas has Sean coming in, Sean Miller coming in to be their basketball coach. And, you know, they wanted to get away from Texas. They were going to the SEC. Now Texas is in the SEC, and the pressure's on A&M.
Yeah.
And how many changes? I mean, my goodness, the changes they've made through the administration and all through athletics over the last couple of years.
I don't think there's a whole lot of folks that are happy with Trev Albers either. And I think that's part of this too. And so you start to you wind it all up and you go, man, you can have all the money you want to. It doesn't guarantee. And this is like we're talking about. You can have a bunch of great players.
Right.
It just doesn't guarantee that you're going to win at a high level. But if you don't have it, and right now, if you don't have money, it's really hard to win. They've got that part of it, but it doesn't guarantee success. But if you don't have it, it's pretty hard to have success.
Yeah, it almost guarantees the opposite.
That's right.
Jason, got a couple of minutes left here. Hit the highlights of what everybody's responsibilities are. There's a lot, as we said, there's an awful lot going on here over the next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, Nathan King, Philip Marshall, Patrick Bingham will be in San Antonio. So they'll have wall-to-wall coverage of what's hopefully a 4 or 5 day trip to San Antonio there.
I'm sure hoping it is.
Yes, and so so they'll be there covering all that. Myself, Christian Clemente, whoever else, we may have to pull some folks out of retirement to help us on Saturday. But, you know, Christian will be, you know, knee-deep in football recruiting. I will be helping as well.
How many folks are you expecting in for Big Cat?
I think probably 30 to 35. You know, I think the good – and it's good. The days of having 75 to 100
right.
are over because now it's so much about personal time. And so they'll have a couple of guys on Friday. They'll have a couple of guys on Sunday. Hey, let's give them a little extra time. So it'll still be a busy day. But, you know, thankfully it's not like it, you know, those days were where you had 100 guys come in and show up and you go, okay, what are you going to do with that person? You know, they didn't get a chance to talk to the coaches. And so, so it'll be busy, but we'll have coverage of that. Baseball this weekend. A whole lot going on. So looking forward to it, though.
Hoping for Christian's sake that
I'm hoping it's not a doubleheader. Yes, that's correct. If it is, then have to buy Christian a couple of dinners to make up for the work he's going to have to put in.
And of course, how folks can keep up with it all.
Yeah, check us out. Like I said, AuburnUndercover.com, part of the 24/7 network, social media accounts, YouTube. So Nathan, caught up with Florida's writer to do a preview from the Florida side of things. That's on our YouTube page as well. So you can find all that. And like I said, it's going to be a busy weekend for sure.
Yep. Rest up as much as you can before the weekend.
Absolutely.
Jason. All right. Thanks again. Jason Caldwell joining us as he does on Wednesdays. We're halfway done. We'll get to our top of the hour break. We've got some audio from Hugh Freeze. We can run an hour number two. We'd love to hear from you, though, as we head into the final hour of the Wednesday Drive.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390 at 888-382-7502 or email the ESPNAU.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Don Dunn here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover joining us for hour number one. If you missed any of that, I mean, Jason's always great. I mean, he has insight on just about everything. We talked basketball, football, baseball. So if you missed any of it, we encourage you to check out the podcasts of The Drive wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, podcasts of The Drive are sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, who also sponsor The Drive text box. You can text us 334-564-1840, or you can call us on The Drive hotline, which is sponsored by Skybar. That number's 334-321-1390. And we talked some college baseball, Major League Baseball, a lot of day games in the majors today as we're wrapping up the first week of the season. I mean, of course, you had the two games that were played in Japan early, and probably the most, I mean, there have been some crazy things that have happened, some crazy things in the first week of Major League Baseball. Maybe the most unbelievable one is there is just one team in the majors without a win, and that is the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
I mean,
who would have thought that?
Well, they haven't been home again tonight. Right. The Dodgers are one of the best. The Dodgers are 7-0, the Padres are 6-0, and they're already leading today. So, I mean, at least the Braves aren't in the West anymore. It'd be crazy to look up and see yourselves, you know, seven games out of first a week into the season.
Yeah.
But the Braves are already four games for action tonight. We will, we'll see if we can, while I'm in San Antonio, see if we can talk with Barrett Salee if Barrett is, tough. That is tough when you get a gig like he's gotten, and it's a dream of a lifetime to be the pre and post game host. Can't win. They can't score. They can't hit. They've just really struggled.
Snake bit.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, teams, management and men. I can't believe something like this would happen. But I mean,
right.
Sometimes management will go, all right, we got to make some changes.
Yeah.
And the easy changes to make are responsible for it.
Yeah.
The ones out there on the field. What are you going to do? You're going to decide, yeah, all right, Matt Olson, you're hitting 118. You're outright released. No, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Austin Riley, you're hitting a .180 or Ozzie Albies or any of them. You know, it's like Chris Sale. You haven't been able to get out of the fifth inning in two starts, so you're gone. No, you got to hang on to those guys.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes the people. The people who are subject to something happening to them are the ones who are just trying to describe what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many announcers, the perception of an announcer a lot of times is based on how good the team is.
Exactly. And because and people blame them.
Yeah, fans will think, oh, we got a crappy announcer because the team's losing.
He's not for us.
Yeah, he doesn't do a good enough job. He's not pulling hard enough for us to win. It's like, man, that had nothing to do with how the team is doing.
Yeah, that's unusual, though. You would have never thought the Braves.
Yeah, no kidding. So we will see as they take on the Dodgers again this evening. We're wide open here in hour number two of the drive. We've got some audio. Oh, the big boss is here. We have some audio from Coach Hugh Freeze that we're going to run for you in a little while. As Auburn back at practice this week, it is the third of 4 weeks of spring football, and the Tigers will scrimmage again Saturday. So Saturday you've got scrimmage Saturday morning, like Jason was saying, a scrimmage, Big Cat, the very likely possibility of two baseball games,
right?
While Auburn basketball is getting ready to play in the Final Four at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon.
Wow,
it's going to be a pretty busy day.
Yeah.
On Saturday, but if we get a chance, we'll let you hear some of the comments from Hugh yesterday at Auburn's practice. We were talking with Jason before he left, and I said, and he agreed. I mean, I think this freshman class, that most of whom, I think with the exception of the Smith brothers, maybe one other freshman who's not here, are going through spring practice, have gone through winter workouts and spring practice. I just from what I have seen, I think it may be more impressive than last year's freshman class, which was a really
good one.
Strong freshman class. Last year's, of course, was highlighted by the receivers, but then you had guys like DeMarcus Riddick and Jake Crawford, and I mean, you had quite a few guys who got some playing time and were significant contributors. But I think there may be more of them this year.
Yeah,
as we look at the roster, I mean, offensively, Auburn is a little more experienced. Trying to think, I mean, well, Deuce Knight is a super talented freshman quarterback, and that's what we were saying a while ago. If you weren't listening while we were talking, I thought about this yesterday. I mentioned it a while ago with Jason, in that because of the praise for how far along Deuce Knight is, I think some people want to jump to the
conclusion.
That means that Jackson Arnold probably, you know, his job could be in jeopardy. I don't think that's the case. I think Jackson Arnold is looking very good out there as a guy who looks like an SEC quarterback. But Deuce Knight is a freshman who is showing that he's going to be, or he sure has all the tools to be an outstanding SEC quarterback. And that's a great situation to have.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And, you know, they're not going to rush him. They got to be smart with him, bring him along. The other young man has more experience. And like you said, he's just a true, really a young freshman. Still should be in high school.
Right.
So, yeah, but that's so much better than the other part saying, I wish he was a little better. He's not what we thought he would be. So, you know, that's so exciting that he's such a good athlete and a competitor, and that he's here 6 months early.
Oh, yeah.
That's a plus.
But, I mean, just in the couple of viewing windows we have had, the way he can spin it, and this was with – I mean, obviously they weren't going through full contact. We saw some 11-on-11. Then we saw some 7-on-7. And with guys coming after him, needing to make quick decisions, Deuce – gets the ball out quickly and with authority and accuracy. That's what was so impressive. But on offense, I mean, there's Deuce Knight. I mentioned Sam Turner, who is, I mean, he is really pushing. Right now, I don't know. I mean, it is a battle at the outside receiver spots. I mean, I think you've got Cam Coleman. You've got Horatio Fields, and then Eric Singleton has played the slot and outside, but he's more of a slot guy along with Malcolm Simmons, and then Bryce Kane, who we saw back yesterday from his hamstring a little bit. But I don't know that Sam Turner is – he's not just pushing Perry Thompson. He and Perry Thompson are in a serious battle, and Turner, he's another – big-bodied guy to go there along with Cam and Horatio Fields and Perry. So, I mean, he looks like a gem. And then Auburn really, I mean, they really like on the offensive line. Golly, I'm blanking on his name. I got to pull my roster up.
Yeah,
Ty Buster.
Mm-hmm.
Buster is a guy that the coaches have talked about. We saw him working with a second group at guard last week. He was working some at tackle as well as guard yesterday, and worked a little bit with the first group, just rotating in for a couple of snaps. So a young offensive lineman there, and then both the tight ends, Preston Howard, Ryan Gee, have looked really good. I mean, I think Auburn's got I love the talent that appears throughout. I mean, there's skill players, there's linemen, there are receivers on offense. Then on defense, Jason was talking to you, Coach, mm-hmm. about Jordan Crawford.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't miss him, first of all. He is one of those guys, when you look at him, you go, oh, man, there's a guy that's a nose tackle. I mean, he's built like a refrigerator.
Yeah.
I mean, or a deep freeze is what he's built
William
like.
Perry.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's, you know, just a block.
Yeah.
But he is explosive,
yep.
Really moves well. Jared Smith on the outside is a guy who is going to play. And when we run the Hugh Freeze audio, you'll hear him say he is going to play
right
this year, no question about it. Like the linebackers, and then in the secondary, you've got a pair of guys in Blake Woodby and Donovan Starr at corner that are pushing. I mean, mm-hmm. they're running second team right now.
Yeah.
And then Anquan Fagans, new boy, he was getting some work with the ones at safety yesterday. And then Eric Winters is another safety that really, looks advanced. It's amazing how much better
1 year
prepared kids are, you know, as early enrollees. I mean, these guys are miles ahead of what I recall seeing freshmen just a decade ago in the fall.
Yeah, you know, Bill, in the old days when I was coaching, you rarely ever thought or depended on a freshman.
Right.
You automatically thought, we're going to redshirt this kid. We're going to give him really maybe another year. Mm-hmm. It might be a junior year or late sophomore before and a redshirt sophomore before he ever saw the field. Now these guys are coming in early. They're so much bigger athletic-wise. They're better. I think the high school coaching maybe
yes, I don't think there's
improved.
Any question. Oh, it has.
Just look here.
Definitely has.
You know, in the state of Alabama, all the great players and Georgia. But, you're right. 10 years ago when I was coaching or even longer, you never counted on a freshman unless they were very, very special.
Yeah, these guys, they just don't – I have to be reminded that some of them are freshmen when I look out there, because not just physically, but you can see they picked it up. They know what they're doing, and that's another thing.
Mature.
We talked about it, the fact that Auburn waited later to get things started with spring. I think you can see it paying off, and
yes.
I think that's something that the Coach Freeze is really pleased with, is that these guys – have a better grasp of what they're supposed to be doing than a lot of times you'll see from newcomers in spring ball.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially for the kids, like you said, that came in at Christmas, that's 3 extra months, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important. I don't care. You need the time. You need them to fit in, to learn the system. You know, their first time they're away from home, all those things play a part. If you throw them out there the first – you know, month or week.
Oh, sometimes they're so lost or they're just ready to go, hey, that's it.
I'm transferring. I'm getting out of here. Mm-hmm. I think he was smart to do that.
All right, again, we'll see if we can run the audio from Hugh Freeze at practice yesterday here in a little while, but we'd love to hear from you, anything you want to talk about sports-wise. Obviously, we'll talk more about the Final Four as Auburn and Florida will meet for the second time this year. Of course, the Gators winning 90-81 at Neville Arena earlier, and the teams are all in San Antonio now, and all the media coverage from all the folks that regularly cover Auburn and the national media and everyone will be there all over them starting first thing tomorrow. So we'll talk more about that. Love to get your thoughts. What do you think? How do you feel about Auburn's matchup against Florida? The Tigers appear to be the long shots in the field of four, even though they were the number one seed heading into the tournament. You can join us again by calling the Drive hotline, 334-321-1390. We're just one segment in, and hour number two of the Wednesday Drive, in the second hour of the show, brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Experience and knowledge.
Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Man, the power of Bruce Pearl. I mean, he says, you're listening to The Drive with me and Dan Peck, and just because of that, who's on the phone? Who's on the Drive hotline? Some guy that's been traveling the country, especially the upper Northwest.
Lewis and
Clark. Alaska. Yeah, what are you? Lewis, Clark, and Peck? Dan, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right, guys. Hope you've been holding things down back home while I've continued this world tour with the Trojans. I'm courtside at the Seth Q Arena on the campus of Illinois State University in Normal, Illinois, for tonight's WNIT semifinal. Doug Collins went here and has his name on the court, as a matter of fact, for the Redbirds.
Wow. Okay.
here at Illinois State. It's about halfway between St. Louis and Chicago. Mm-hmm. Normal. It's a Normal in Bloomington, Illinois, make up a community here in the central part of the state. And as a matter of fact, Andy Burcham had a food recommendation for me in Normal. So really appreciate the kind words I've gotten from folks here as the Trojans continue their quest for the 2025 WNIT.
Yeah, and they've been some pretty exciting ball games, Dan.
Two straight overtime wins. They faced down North Dakota State in Fargo on Monday night to get to the Fab Four. For the second year in a row, second straight overtime win for Troy after beating North Texas last week, and now they take on an Illinois State team. These two teams have never seen each other, and the winners in the championship on Saturday. So I'm really looking forward to tonight's game.
And again, I don't want to look ahead or anything, but where would the game be Saturday?
So we don't know. The other two teams still alive for the WNIT are Buffalo and Cleveland State. They're playing tonight. In a crazy coincidence, Troy opened at Buffalo. So we could
open and
close at Buffalo, as a matter of fact.
That wouldn't be the worst way to have a season. That would mean you're playing for the title. So
right, that was a 1-point game in Buffalo earlier this year. So yeah, you don't want to look ahead, but this is going to be a really good game tonight between Troy and the Redbirds. But yeah, the WNIT has some exciting teams left in the field as we get closer to Saturday's championship.
Oh, that's great. So we were trying to figure logistics. I will be either in San Antonio or just about in San Antonio, but able to do the show Friday. So that's good.
I think I should be able to call in for an extended part of Friday's show to help out if I need to. I don't want to miss. I mean, Auburn's, I haven't really talked about it much. Auburn's in the Final Four.
Yeah, how about that?
On Saturday, too.
That's the reason I'm going to be in San Antonio.
Yeah, so, and you know what? And it really touched me, my cynical millennial heart. It really touched me that Andy Burcham, was willing to reach out and give a food recommendation, because he's got a pretty big game ahead of him on Saturday. So yeah, I want to send my appreciation again to our guy Andy. But this is a really exciting what a weekend for Auburn and for this for this men's basketball program. And now, Bill, when you talk about the Auburn Final Four team, you got to get a little more specific, don't you?
Oh, you absolutely do. And we were talking about it, Dan, that there's no way now that there can be any argument that this is the best Auburn basketball team ever. I mean, because of what they had done throughout the entire season, and again, reach it. They've gone as far as any Auburn team has, but have been more impressive in getting there, and now they have the opportunity to advance. And what an unbelievable Final Four. I mean, for just the second time ever, you've got the top four seeds. You have all the number one seeds just for the second time. And I believe the first time, wasn't the first time in the Alamo Dome too? If it was 2008?
2008.
Yeah.
San Antonio. I don't want to forecast forward, because who knows? I mean, next year there could be a bunch of double-digit seeds in the Final Four, right? But it does feel like conditions are sort of not optimal for extended Cinderella runs anymore. The stat I saw that was really interesting, Bill, was that there wasn't an upset this weekend.
Yeah.
In the Sweet 16, right, or the Elite Eight.
There had never been...
Since expanding the tournament in 1985, there had never been an NCAA tournament where you had a second weekend, Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, where the higher-seeded team won every single game. That happened this weekend, and I do wonder if the NCAA, and I don't think it's the death of the NCAA tournament or anything like that. If you see fewer Cinderella runs, but it does feel like things are shaping up for superpowers to have incredible teams. And you look at Auburn, Florida, Duke and Houston in this Final Four, and yeah, I mean, four teams that have had incredible seasons, and four similar stories in that there are homegrown superstars on these teams, but there are also high level mid major players that made the jump and are now contributing at a big level for these teams. There are, I mean, you think about the pirate ship that Auburn has assembled, right, between the junior college and D2 and different mid majors and different high level, you know, high major programs. Like it does feel like there's a bit of a blueprint out there if you want to build the best team possible, and I think a lot of folks may follow that Bruce Pearl blueprint in order to have the best team they can.
Oh yeah, I mean, you look, Florida's got some guys that weren't big time playing at the big time, like, power 4 or 5 schools when Todd Golden brought them in. So, I mean, you can understand where he got that idea from.
Yeah, Walter Clayton was at Iona a couple of years ago. Micah Handlogden was in the Sun Belt at Marshall before making the jump over to Florida. So, no, absolutely. You've seen all over the country this year, there are stories of guys who started at the mid-major level or started even, you know, at, you know, outside the D1 level that are now major contributors for national championship contenders, and that's something we've been talking about all season, right? With this Auburn squad, you know, the overachievers, the idea that they could be they could be the kind of team that actually goes all the way with a team like this, and we'll see who ends up taking the title home. I think we're in store for two fantastic games on Saturday in the men's Final Four.
Yeah, and I mean, and the way it is set up. As we were talking a little earlier, I mean, it won't be a shock if any team wins it, because all four of these teams have done plenty to show that they're worthy of being champions. How many metrics say these are four of the 10 best teams that have ever played in the Final Four?
Right. I mean, whenever you start the era, but like, I know KenPom goes back to 99, says these are four of the best teams since the 1999 season. I think there's a metric that says the Purdue team that was a one seed a couple of years ago that lost to Fairleigh Dickinson, like that team would have been like a 5 seed this year by the numbers. There were about 20 or 21 teams this season that had a higher KenPom than one seeds in the tournament a couple of years ago, to let you know sort of how things have progressed. And I think a lot of that, Bill, is NIL extending careers, right? And we're seeing seniors finish their eligibility, high-level impact players finishing their eligibility. In a previous era, those guys would have quit college early to go try to make a living as a professional basketball player somewhere. And instead, these guys are wringing every drop out of their college basketball careers.
Now, things could, hopefully, I'm still in San Antonio while this is going on, but Monday is the scheduled approval hearing for the NCAA lawsuit, the House versus NCAA lawsuit, and that could bring a little bit of a change or or some parameters to what's going on right now. And as Jason was saying here in hour number one, that's why you're seeing a lot of schools trying to wrap up deals with players in the transfer portal as quickly as possible.
So is there the belief that, like, if this thing gets approved, it could impact recruiting, like, the next day?
Yes.
Is this something that could take hold over the – I wasn't sure if there was, like, an installation period or if we're right in the new era the next day. But you're right. I mean, what a cherry bomb to yeah. drop right in the middle of recruiting as teams try to build next year's rosters.
Yeah, on the eve of the NCAA on the eve of the NCAA championship is when it would be, right? Or on the same day.
Yeah.
And there are still thousands of kids in the transfer.
Yeah, I mean, still thousands of players in the transfer portal.
Absolutely.
Making their decisions. So I mean, so it is. Yeah. What a drastic change that could be if we enter the revenue sharing era and the era of more official employment, more professionalization.
Right. Direct payments.
At the college
direct
level than we've ever had before. Yeah, the direct payment era.
Yeah, just it is just wild. I mean, it has been crazy what has happened. But it has been an amazing tournament. Even though we had the top four, it hasn't been a boring tournament by any means, partly because of where we are and the fact that Auburn is there. But Auburn's got their hands full, obviously, against a Florida team that played so well down the stretch. Now, granted, they're very fortunate to have been able to pull off that win against Texas Tech, but this is a Gator team that is so talented with that huge front court, how deep they are on the front court, and big, strong guards. But Walter Clayton has been the man in the postseason.
Yeah, think about the whiplash for Texas Tech fans, right? Going from down against Arkansas and thinking about the season ending right there to coming back and being up. You know, you want to be careful with this word. They were up comfortably against Florida.
Sure seemed that way.
it was comfortable until it wasn't against the Gators, and now Florida's the team that wins the region.
Yeah, it's great. Really looking forward to it. Yeah, we're all going, Dan. I mean, I've got the boys and the grandkids. I mean, we're all going. So
you're loading up the Clampett mobile.
Absolutely, we're heading west. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Oh man, they get the black gold and Texas tea, Bill. All right. Well, hey, I gotta run here.
Yeah, you gotta take care of the ball game. How can we keep up with it?
Okay, tip-off is at 6:30 Central. ESPN Plus will have the game. I am on the Troy Sports Media Network. You can catch that troytrojans.com/watch. Locally, we're on 94.7 in WTBF in the Troy Montgomery area as well. Big one tonight as the Trojans look to make the WNIT championship.
All right, Dan, good luck. I hope I don't see you till next week.
I appreciate it, Bill. Have fun in San Antonio. I will talk to you again soon.
All right, take care. Dan Peck joining us.
Yeah, great.
From Normal, Illinois.
Normal, Illinois. Yep.
Troy and Illinois State tonight for the WNIT semifinals. So it sounds like they'll be on the road against the winner of the Buffalo-Cleveland State game.
Wow.
If they win.
Now, would they go from there?
I think they probably would.
Yeah, because it's going to be, Thursday tomorrow, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I hope he...
And the game's Saturday, so there's no
clean
reason...
Clean clothes.
Well, that's why they told him.
Yeah.
He said they told him to pack a lot of clothes.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. I remember a funny story. When I was growing up, I was listening to Kaywood Ledford in the Kentucky basketball, and he and Ralph Hackard, and Kentucky got upset by Middle Tennessee State. I don't know if you remember that early
in the
70s.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
And he signed off. He said, "Ralph, we're going home with a lot of clean clothes. So you don't want to be going home with clean clothes."
Trips road trips used to be. You pack for a long road trip. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don. Don here in the studio. Drew at the controls. And we don't have any callers at the moment, so thought we'd run some of the comments yesterday. Wasn't an official, you know, media conference, press conference or anything, but the media that was there watching the practice yesterday over at the football facility had an opportunity to spend a few minutes with Coach Hugh Freeze, and I thought we'd let you hear some of his comments that came mid-practice yesterday.
I guess kind of what have you seen since we talked to you last, having some practices and getting back out?
Yeah, we had scrimmage number one Saturday and was really encouraged by the competitiveness of both sides. I thought there was some good things, and obviously when one side does some good things, there's some bad things that are happening on the other that you've got to get corrected. But I really thought, man, that it went back and forth and the competitiveness was really good to see on Saturday. We'll do it again this Saturday and then, you know, hopefully see some improvement in every area. But was really pleased, particularly with the receivers. I thought they continue to show up and make plays. We got to clean up some protection stuff, but encouraged with what I saw Saturday.
How's the battle at quarterback going so far, the competition?
Competition is great. I don't think there's any replacement for that. Until you get that at every position, I think the natural instinct is for most people to remain status quo somewhat. And when you've got somebody breathing down your neck that's making plays, when they get opportunities, it changes things. And I think that's what we're seeing with Jackson and Deuce. And, you know, get Ashton here this summer, and hopefully it adds a third guy to it also. But excited to see the competition. We knew that, you know, when we would get two full recruiting classes here, that would start being the case, and I think it's right.
You seeing your mid-year guys take advantage of this opportunity?
Yeah, no question. It's I try to stay out of those discussions with families and high school coaches because I don't want anybody to say, Free said this or Free said that. I think that's a family decision. But there's certainly a lot of positives to when kids do early enroll, and you're starting to see that, you know. I really can't think of a single kid that's not benefiting from it that they chose to do that.
You talked about receivers. How many are you feeling good about? I mean, you gotta like the numbers you got out there. But
yeah,
I mean,
we're not at full strength. We're a little thin because, you know, Duke's not here and Eric's not here yet. And Bryce has been hurt all spring, unfortunately. So we're very thin, but I feel good about everything. I think Sam Darnold's going to be one heck of a player. Horatio Fields, we absolutely hit a home run in adding him to the mix in the transfer portal. And obviously, you know how high we were on Cam and Malcolm and Bryce and Perry and the ones that were already here. So I think it's a really, really, really talented room.
How does someone with Horatio's size kind of on the outside opposite Cam? I mean, how much is that going to do for you guys?
Well, I love long receivers, always have, and I think now we've got some of those that fit that mold, and Horatio certainly does. And he stood out probably, obviously Cam, I don't know, I think it's circulating on the media, the catch he made in the corner was phenomenal, but Horatio made one equally as good, I think, to end the scrimmage Saturday. And so it's good to see, you know, guys that can win those 50-50 balls when you have those opportunities.
You talked about competition at quarterback. How important was it for Deuce to come in and kind of hit the ground running if he wanted to throw his name into the
net? Yeah, I don't think there was any chance that could have been done by him coming in summertime. So thankfully did. He is a he wants to learn. His mental IQ for football, you can tell. He's worked with good coaches like his high school coach James Ray and his quarterback coach David Morris down in Mobile. But man, you've got to have the want to individually to come in and study on your own. And you can't get you got to get the guy out of the building. And so is Jackson. Both of them are that way. So it's glad that he came in at mid-year.
You, who's some guys that stood out for you on defense so far?
Amaris Williams is really, really coming on. Those young kids, Bryce Dees and Woodby, I think both are going to be heck of players. Fagans is everything that we thought he would be. Eric Winters is getting better, and all those young kids. Inside, Jordan Crawford stands out, and Malik Autry is going to be – I mean, they're young now. So, again, it's like last year. I don't want to sit here and raise the bar so high on them as true freshmen that all of a sudden people are let down and writing about them online, you know. Really think that class is really, really – oh, and Jared. Jared stands out. Jared is going to be really, really good. You know, he's good already, but he's going to be really good with a year or two under his belt. And I know I'm forgetting Alvin Henderson made some really solid runs in the scrimmage Saturday also. And heck said he and Deuce and Sam were really not that young on the offensive side right now. So, but those are some of the guys that stood out for sure.
Coach, you feel good about where your offensive line is right now?
Once we get everybody out there, I think I'll be right. We're looking, you know, without Connor, without X right now, and those are two guys that we obviously are really depending on to step in and play for. So I think you add those two to the six or seven that we're rotating right now with the ones, then you feel like, man, we're 8 to 10 deep with guys that can play.
What are you looking for to finish out this week, heading into that final week of spring?
Well, we're still installing, so we'll see how they handle. They will install today and Thursday, and then cut it off, and then have four more practices where, you know, let's try to see if they've retained everything that we've done and not installed anymore. So, you know, there'll still be some ups and downs and ebbs and flows like it was in Tiger Ball today, which that's probably as dirty as it has been. We've really been clean in that, but we added three things today, and it was, you know, so-so, I thought. But, you know, we'll add a few more things between today and Thursday, and then go Saturday, next Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and let's see if they can retain it and clean up and hopefully execute at a high level, at least where, you know, your decision-making as a quarterback or a receiver, route running, or an O-line's assignment-wise, at least hopefully those assignments grade out to be high those last four times. Yeah, you'll get beaten some one-on-ones at times, but, man, he's in the right place. He understood what he's doing. That's what I'd love to see the last four practices, when you call something that they had a complete understanding of it.
What do you think if you see the basketball team up close the other night?
Listen, I'm glad you asked. We can't forget to talk about that. I talked to Bruce again last night. I had a blast being in Atlanta for both, you know, the Sweet 16 game and the Elite Eight, and just to see the way they're competing and representing Auburn. And I don't think there's any way that we can quantify or measure, you know, what that does for all of us. And just thankful, you know, for Bruce, his friendship, and happy as heck for he and his family and his players. And look, I'm going to fly out Saturday as soon as I get through here and get there and cheer them on Saturday in San Antonio. You turn on the TV and all that's being talked about. Charles Barkley's talking about us all the time. And they force people to obviously recognize the season. Arguably, maybe the most difficult SEC league in the history of basketball. And for them to win it and to get to the Final Four, I think just again speaks volumes for the job that Bruce has done, his staff, and his kids. And I think we benefit from it too. We got three top recruits here today, and one of the first things we'll talk about is the basketball team. So we all benefit from it.
So that's you first. You get a little idea for the. We were in the quietest place we could find. I mean, they've got the speakers pumping. I mean, practice was going on, and that was the quietest place we could find. And when Hugh would turn away to the other side, yeah, it's a little tough. But I mean, he was really excited, and he's absolutely right. I mean, the brand of Auburn Bruce Pearl and this basketball team have put out there.
You can't put a price on it.
It's definitely, you know, noticed by everybody.
And you got another basketball. And you have another players. three days of it.
Yeah, no question.
Or all right, four.
We'll get to our final break. Mitch, hold on. You're up when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
Experience and knowledge from the pros. Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell Building.